Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm Chris Chin. The Warriors continue to stack the dubs. Fourth win in a row, bringing the season record up to 6-1. Remain second place in the West as we look forward to a very, very imposing five-game schedule coming up, starting with Boston tomorrow. But this game against Washington, it was a trap game, you know, with Steph coming back, Kuzma out for the Wizards, and, you know, just coming off a huge win at Houston in overtime, and obviously looking ahead in the schedule, it would have been very easy to just kind of overlook Washington in this one. And maybe the Warriors did it a bit, but the talent was good enough on the Warriors side of things. The defense played hard enough to, you know, keep Washington at arm's length. And, you know, there were some lapses in this one, and I would expect a much better effort tomorrow at Boston. But nevertheless, good teams take care of games like this. In the dog days of the year, we're not even at the dog days, we're in the puppy days of November, but they get up, handle business in Washington, where all sorts of other craziness is probably going on in the city these days. Don't get distracted and stay focused and get a win in Steph Curry's return. I guess we'll start this one talking a bit about Steph because we can. Steph, returning back from that ankle injury, only missed a couple games, missed three, in fact, which we all won, obviously. It's good to see Steph back. We knew he'd be on a limits restriction and only played 24 minutes in this one. The shot never really misses a beat. He looked as if he was just kind of taking it easy and floating through this one. Didn't look particularly explosive. Only really attacked the lane a couple times in this one. My only cause for concern, if I'm just going to throw it out there, is we have since last year and even a little bit in the Olympics and then to start this year, Steph's finishing and just kind of his effectiveness attacking the hoop and getting to the rim, not the best that we've seen out of him in his career, you know, if we're thinking back to how quick and explosive he was back in his earlier days. Obviously, he's going to slow down a little bit. I think it's more he's just kind of conserving energy a bit as well. But a couple of those things together, and, you know, I would just... It's the craftiness, the touch, especially, it just hasn't quite been there as much for Steph. So just something to keep an eye on as he ages. It makes sense that that's probably something that will regress just a bit. But you know what? You can always fall back to a little bit of a three-point shooting, and the Warriors are finding plenty of ways for Steph to get his shots up. 24 points in 24 minutes in this one. We'll see how his ability to get to the rim, you know, A, if it has regressed at all, and then B, you know, we'll find that out kind of more in clutch times of games where we're, you know, it's down to final possessions, and we'll see what he really does have left in the tank. The greatness is still there. It just matter, you know, how often and how frequently you can tap into that greatness. A little out of sorts in this one, the second half. The plan was for Steph to start the game, but not the second half. We've seen the Warriors do this a few times when his minutes are going to be limited, so he doesn't have to start the second half, sit for, you know, 12 minutes of gameplay, and then finish the game, less sitting in between. So they opt to bring him off the bench in the third quarter to start. However, the only other true point guard on the roster, Brandon Podziemski, leaves with an illness to start the second half. Puts the rotations in a little bit of disarray, but that's where this team is a lot different than in past years. A lot of secondary ball handling, especially out of that front court, which we'll talk about in a bit. But Warriors, again, able to use that depth. Kerr able to piece together a good enough lineups to kind of keep the Wizards at bay here and keep the Warriors from just completely collapsing down the stretch. Warriors, they... And Steph, you know, they had I think in the third quarter, you know, good sized lead, which would have been shrunken down had Steph not dropped. I believe he dropped 13 to maybe 15 in that third quarter. So it was good to get Steph kind of up and going, dancing around just a little bit. Kept the game in double digits, which could have very easily dwindled when Keyshawn George, who's shooting all 9% on the season, ends up hitting 5 threes in a row, including a bank shot. And he's feeling himself and, yeah, yada, yada, yada. But those things are going to happen. What do the Warriors do in that situation? How do they respond? Well, they dig in on defense and they use one of the very unique weapons they have, Kyle Slow-Mo Anderson. Put him on George, and eventually after the bank three, slows George down, blocks him, gets a few stops, just doesn't let him get his shot up anymore. And you just see the difference that Kyle Anderson's kind of veteran experience can make in a game like this, where he can shut down, anywhere from a 2, 3, 4 type of a wing player on defense. He's very switchable, just makes great decisions, just knows where to be. And then on the other side of the ball, he gives you a ball handler out of that point forward position, where when Steph Curry's limits, excuse me, minutes are limited, Draymond Green's not in the game to be another ball handler. Podziemski out at half. Who's going to handle the ball? It's been Kyle Anderson, and it's been good. He is totally fine. And when Draymond came in and kind of shared ball handling duties with Kyle, it was more than enough. Ball was moving, ball was humming. The offense was efficient, and the defense, as you would expect, was great. I thought Kyle played a great fourth quarter in this one, both sides of the ball. He fits that such a unique role for the Warriors, for all the things I just mentioned, that it really opens up a lot of combinations that Steve Kerr can go to in that front court. There's obviously spacing issues, but really that's the one concern with Kyle Anderson, is kind of the shooting, which, sometimes it's been over 40% in the past. I don't expect it to be there, but just gives you a glimpse of kind of what he can offer when, the going gets tough. Steve Kerr trusts Kyle Anderson to be in there and handle the ball and put him on a team's hot scorer and shooter. So Kyle Anderson, great job on this one. Speaking of kind of the combinations that it unlocks, we saw a new combination this week or last night, up about 7 points. Lead was as small as it got, and Kerr keeps Kyle in there, brings Dre back off the bench, puts TJD in, a Dre slow-mo TJD front court for defensive purposes, obviously. But you hear that front court, and I'm thinking, man, there's going to be no spacing. It's very unorthodox, it's clunky. I don't know how it works. Who's even what position here, but it actually ended up being one of my new favorite combinations, because you add two shooters around it just for the spacing. You don't even need a ball handler, although when Steph's playing, obviously you get that with Steph. But they just played Lindy Waters and Buddy Hield with those three, and essentially the highest leverage moments of the game, and it worked. The defense was great. There's plenty of ball handling, which you would think would be the issue with this, with no guards truly on the court. And Kyle and Dre basically just kept running pick and roll for either each other with TJD, found ways to get into the lane, expose matchups, and then kick it out to shooters. And I think Lindy hit a three out of it. Buddy might have hit one as well. But the lineup really worked. And then eventually you can put Kevon Looney in there for, I think he came in for Kyle eventually, playing three bigs again. And that's how we finished the game. And I mean, this combo doesn't seem like it works, but really the. Here's why it did work, and here's why I'm optimistic that it can continue to work, is that you have three great passing bigs and Dre, Slow-Mo, and then I'm going to throw TJD into that, because TJD is an underrated passer. You get three good passing bigs. You have, we from that, you saw Draymond to TJD, multiple lobs. You saw a lot of just easy buckets out of this lineup, which you would think would have no spacing. Steve Kerr must just really enjoy just piecing together this puzzle, right? He's just got different lineups, different problems to solve with each matchup, and he has all these different possibilities, made possible by Kyle Anderson's versatility, by TJD just giving you so much more in his development offensively. It just feels like every game Kerr is going to find a new combination of players, and this triplet, and then we can throw Looney in there too, was just kind of the new combo that seemed to work, at least against Washington. We'll see against other lineups and better teams. But I want to get back to TJD in this one. So 12 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. I think he continues to lead the NBA in field goal percentage. What I liked about all that most is the 3 assists, because he had many more good passes that didn't even chalk up as assists. TJD is an underrated, very good passer out of that center spot. As obviously, after he sits a pick and roll, he can roll, he can catch a lob, he can throw it down. We already know that, but he's effective as a short roller, where he's essentially getting the ball back after throwing a screen, not necessarily going all the way to the hoop if there's a double team or a trap coming from that weak side, and he knows how to come up short and pass the ball, find shooters, find an additional cutter. That's like that next iteration in this Warriors offense that unlocks this big lineup, right? If there's not enough spacing, that passing out of that big spot, kind of like you saw Andrew Bogut back in the day. Even Zaza was good as a passing big. That unlocks so much more spacing where Draymond can play the four, and now your center is able to be part of this offense without spacing concerns. And then, as we're speaking about spacing, obviously the other part that works very well is that Draymond Green is shooting 52% on threes this season. Hit a Usually we're okay with him shooting at the top of the key. He's hitting them from the corner, catch and shoot, no hesitation. He's hitting them from the wing. He had three of them in this one. He had 18 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. I thought he played a fantastic game tonight. Excuse me, last night. Even got a little bit of a subtle revenge on Jordan Poole after Poole hit a three, points at Draymond. Draymond, as we're heading into the half, catches a long outlet pass, kind of bodies up Poole, kicks it out to Steph. Nothing but net. Points right back at Jordan Poole. Must be saying, "Hey, buddy, I miss you. Good to see you. Let's rekindle this great friendship that we used to have." But between Draymond's shooting this year, which will obviously come back down to earth, but if he can remain a high 30% shooter, which we've seen in the last, I think it's what, six, last 63 games dating back to the beginning of last year, he's shooting a higher percentage from three than Steph Curry is. So if you're going to give me anything close to that at I believe 41% since then, the spacing issues don't exist. Draymond Green, if you're going to keep shooting confidently, quickly, and make good decisions and shoot within the flow of the offense, which he's doing a great job of, now we're talking about a whole different geometry to the floor. Couple that with TJD's action where, especially that starting lineup, a lot of pick and rolls. He's essentially the engine of this offense now, as you're having him come up, set a screen, and then the offense goes from there, whether he's rolling to the hoop, making a pass, or just kind of creating mismatches from there. But that's why this starting lineup and even the closing lineup with TJD in it has been very successful because of his action. He's not just standing there on the block. He's giving you a lot more than, say like a Kevon Looney, who is great, but Looney doesn't give you the same playmaking out of that center spot that TJD does. Obviously, TJD on the defensive side gives you that rim protection that you need as well. And that's why the Warriors have found a lot of success, particularly with the emergence of TJD since the middle of last year. Looking a little more at this closing lineup. So one thing I really like to see is that Buddy Hield has been in this closing lineup. I mean, I guess at this point, we're going to say Buddy's really stepped up into that number two scorer role for the Warriors. Depending on the situation, obviously he doesn't get his own shot as well as like say a Kuminga can, or even maybe a Pajemski just because of the ball handling. But Buddy Hield is showing that he can be in the game when it matters at the end, not just for spacing, but he can handle the ball. He can, make free throws, which we need. And when we have a lead and Steph's the only one on the court that can knock down a free throw, you almost need Buddy in there. And so my biggest concern with that is, can he take care of the ball? Can he be basically a secondary ball handler with that lineup when Steph's in and two guys are on Steph denying the entry pass? Can Buddy be in there, handle the ball, knock down free throws? Yes, we know he can. And then his defense, which is never going to be great, has been good enough lately. We saw him get attacked against Houston in on defense in the clutch and did okay. Good enough to win, but that's going to be the question to say if Buddy can be a consistent closing lineup type guy. We already know the Warriors are last in the league in free throw percentage, so any bit of free throw help we can get, the better there. So Buddy Hield, another great game in this one, has been very consistent as a 20-point scorer, especially while Steph's been out. And if he can continue to do that, the Warriors are in business. Lastly, just want to look at. Let's look at Kuminga and Wiggins a little bit. Wiggins, not a factor in this one. I actually thought he came out aggressive. He just missed a bunch of shots and, pretty good looks from three. I think he started out 0 for 6, 0 for 7. I mean, knocked down a couple of those, and it's a much better game. Ended up not really playing much down the stretch in this one because of the big lineup. But I think he'll bounce back, especially against Boston when we are going to need him. Kuminga was actually very good tonight. I think he had 15 points, just very efficient, made good decisions. The play that stands out to me the most is when he's got the ball in transition, and rather than just put his head down and attack, which I'm all for, knew that Steph Curry was coming off basically a V cut, kind of cutting the baseline with Gary Payton setting him a little flare screen in the corner. Kuminga is patient, sees it early, basically takes a kind of a hesitation just to allow Steph to get to the corner, makes a good kind of cross court pass to Steph, makes a no look three, and the bench goes crazy. And I thought that was better than Kuminga just attacking and even just getting to the line. So be aggressive, but also see the floor. And I thought Kuminga defense was good in this one. It's good decision making. And although he didn't close, I think I'm okay with his reactions on the bench. He seems engaged still. He doesn't seem to be pouting. His time will come. And just like against Houston, we'll probably see him less when the Warriors have a lead down the stretch for defensive purposes. And but we'll probably see him in close games. And when the Warriors need points offensively, he should be in there. All right. Well, a lot to take away from, again, a November game. We're learning a lot more about this team in the clutch, and when this team gets its back up against the wall, just the options Steve Kerr has, and really just who's going to step up in those situations. So another night, another person who stepped up in this one. If I had to give a game ball, I will give my game ball to TJD in this one. I thought he played really well, but Draymond Green, Kyle Anderson, not far behind with what they did tonight. All right, guys. Things are about to get real. We got the Celtics coming up on Wednesday, followed by the undefeated Cavs on Friday, followed by the undefeated Thunder on Sunday. I will be in Vegas for that one, so I'm looking forward to it. I will talk to you guys on Thursday after we kick the Celtics' butts. Until then, I am Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.